every race he's ever been in. But in this story, he finds himself faced with a racetrack that he simply cannot beat. It has that sharp left turn. And every time he tries it, and harder he tries, it doesn't make any difference. He skids off the track and into the bushes. And if that wasn't annoying enough, there's this crazy old grandpa car. He starts armchair quarterbacking him, starts giving him crazy advice that is absolute nonsense. He's not having a good day at this part of the movie. He wants to win. That's the main thing that he wants about anything. He wants to win. And everything just seems to be against him. What he doesn't know is that this crazy grandpa car is Doc Hudson, a veteran, legendary dirt track racer from the golden age of racing, who knows everything about racing on dirt. This track that Lightning McQueen can't do, Doc Hudson grew up on this track, has won many, many races on this track, and he knows exactly what he's talking about, even though it sounds crazy. He knows the track. That's the key. When you have a coach who knows the track, you've got a good chance of winning. Now, you and I are like a lot like Lightning McQueen. We want to win. We want to win at life. And winning doesn't mean coming in first. It means living good, living well. To look back on life and say, yep, I lived the heck out of that. And my thoughts and reflections on that kind of thing, well, they get stronger around this time of year, you know, right around New Year's. I'm looking ahead at 2026, and I'm like, I want to win that. I want it to be good. On December 31st, I want to be able to look back on this year and say, yeah, I lived the heck out of that. I won it. I lived good. Now, for you and me, if we want to win this year in life and every year, we have good news. You and I, we have a coach who knows the track, knows it inside and out. He invented the track. He knows everything that there is to know about all of this, about the life that we really hope to live well. 2026, it's God's gift to us. And he's already made for us a game plan to win. Today we're going to learn the game plan. We're going to start making some plans within that about the coming year. We've got 365 days of track. And on December 31st, we're going to look back and be glad about how it went, about how we handled it, about how we won all of those unexpected twists and turns. We don't know the track, but we have a coach who does, and that makes all the difference. We're going to find this game plan in Proverbs 3. It's an ancient poem, thousands of years old. And if you let it, it'll change your life. You ready for this? All right, let's go. This is your Father, God in heaven, talking directly to you, his child. My child, my beautiful, beautiful child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands from your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. You want a good life? You want to win 2026? If you want that, then good, because that's exactly what God wants for you, because you're his kid, he adores you, and he loves it when you win, and he's right there for you. And the good news, remember, he knows the track. The whole book of Proverbs is God giving his knowledge, his wisdom, to the children that he loves. Wisdom in the Bible, it's the guiding star that is always going to be there for you. It's not inside yourself. I'm never even sure how much I can trust myself. I've learned to lie to myself a little bit too good in my lifetime. But I know I can trust that star, this wisdom that comes from outside of me. I didn't figure this stuff out. but I've got a coach who knows the track, and he knows how to guide me through. Let's continue in verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never, ever leave you. Bind them around your neck like an ID necklace with your name on it. Bind it around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then, if you do that, you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of people. In the game plan to win 2026, that's the first piece. Love above all. Now, it's no surprise to us that love comes first on the list. Jesus teaches us that all of God's teachings can be summed up simply as love. We call it the Jesus Creed. It has four words. If you've been at the journey for more than 2 days, you know it. So let's say what the Jesus Creed is. Four words. Love God. Love others. Let's do that again. I think we can do that with more gusto and feeling. Here we go. Love God. Love others. We are the church, and this is what we are about. This is who we are. This is our identity. Love and faithfulness is how Proverbs says it. And what he's doing there is something in Hebrew poetry. He says the same thing twice, but in different ways. That's just how Hebrew poetry works. It doesn't rhyme sounds, it rhymes ideas. And when he says love and faithfulness, here's what he means. The kind of love there is the kind of love that God has. It's the kind of love that I would describe as relentless, dependable loyalty. Like, it doesn't mean pleasant feelings of affection. You know, that's a thing. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about loyalty, someone who is always, always there for you. That's who God is. And that's who God is turning you into. Put this around your neck as your identity. Carve it into your heart. Like, that's how deep this is supposed to go. Love and faithfulness. Faithfulness is just another word that means loyalty, dependability, reliability. Take that, make it to you who you are, put it all the way in the middle of you. So the goal for you and for me, if we want to win, if we want to have good life that at the end of it we can look back and we can be happy about it, is that if somebody asks anybody that you know about who you are, the first word that comes to their mind is loyalty. It's like, oh yeah, I know that guy. That guy's loyal. That's the goal. That's what we want. And I am very happy to tell you, I was not born a loyal, dependable, reliable person. Man, there have been, yeah, I didn't start that way. But you know what? This is one of the great wins of my life. Is that I've become pretty dependable and reliable. I'm a good friend. I'm a good coworker. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good husband. I'm a good dad. Really. I mean, I'm not perfect. Absolutely not. I'm still learning every day. I fail. I apologize. When I know that I failed, I apologize. But you know what? I have come such a long way. And it is one of the happiest facts of my life that I'm becoming that kind of person and that I've come as far as I have. And you want to know the trick? Like, what did that to me? This is going to sound quaint and weird to you. My parents knew about loyalty and reliability. And every single week of my life, we always showed up at church. That was just something that we did. I mean, it sounds like a quaint, old-fashioned thing, I know. But I credit that with me being a good dad, with me being a guy who is there for you. Like, if you ask me to help you move, I'll probably say yes. And two, I will actually show up. I won't enjoy a minute of it. I hate carrying things. But I will show up for you if I tell you that I will. It is true. I have faith in the future that what God is doing in me is going to come out in that way for you. And it's all because my family, all through my life, from the day I was born, we were always the people who showed up. The church I grew up in is a lot like the journey, a lot like this. We didn't put money into a building. Like, we just rented some space. And every day there was like this, a lot of setup work and a lot of takedown work. And we got there at the beginning, and we were there to the end, and we were the ones who closed the door on the way out. That's just who I am. And it's not my fault. It's not because I made some great choices. It's because my parents did. That we always, always showed up. Unless I was sick, we were there. I can't tell you how much that shaped me. So I think there's a lot of practices that one can do to become more reliable, more faithful, more dependable, more loyal to keeping their promises. But I'll just give you this one. This is what worked for me. This is what did it. If you want to become more like this, if you want to be that kind of winner, try showing up for church. Commit. Show up week after week. Try it. It's an experiment. Try it for a year. Say, you know what? Every week of 2026, I'm going to show up. Some days, that's going to be a big feat. And that'll be it's a kind of a low bar, but it'll be good. Like, it's a start, right? You know, if you already come to church every week, if you want to grow here, start committing to different tasks that need to be done. Nothing has enriched my spiritual life more than serving at church. Because when I serve, I win. I don't like serving any more than anybody else does. But when I do it, I win. And I keep coming back, and I do it. And I'm going to show up. And actually, that love there, it's love is a good word, but it's also a very, very flexible word. I'm just going to change that to loyalty, just to make it more precise for us. Loyalty above all. Like I said, Proverbs 3, it'll change your life if you let it. All right, let's read some more. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. It's kind of a hard word, submit. And he will keep you on track. I didn't even mean this, but I love that this passage just has a track in there, and I'm using the whole track image. I didn't plan that. It just happens. You want to live 2026 for all it's worth? Here's what you do. Trust the wisest person in the room. In whatever room you're in, even if that room is outside, trust the wisest person in the room. Lightning McQueen is definitely someone who leans on his own understanding at the beginning of this story. He's won a few races, and he thinks he is the greatest in the world. There's a lot of people who think he's the greatest in the world, and he started to believe the hype. He thinks he gets it, and he leans on that. So when he gets this advice, crazy advice, illogical, unscientific advice, it's not even common sense, turn right to go left. I mean, he has every reason to not believe a word of that. Crazy old grandpa car. I mean, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? You know, look at common sense and logic and all the facts you can see, and from that, you just do what's obvious, right? No. Not if you want to win. The point of having a coach is that the coach knows stuff you don't. That's the point. And when you disagree with your coach, what's the smart thing to do? The smart thing, the wise thing, always, is that if there's somebody in the room who knows more and who is wiser than I, such as a legendary dirt track racer who knows everything about the track, that's the wisest person in the room. Not the talented rookie, the expert, the coach, the one who knows the track. So let's turn it to you now. When you make decisions, who is the wisest person in the room? You've got a coach. The one who made your life, who every second of every day right now, he is making a new day of 2026 every morning. He makes it, he knows everything about the day that he's created for you, and he knows how to navigate it with you. He is far and away the wisest person in the room. This is one of those places where you have to decide if you believe in God or not. You know, if God's not in the room, you know, go ahead and do your best and try not to stress out too much about it, though you will. But if God's real, He is, pay attention. When you've got an expert in the room with you, do not ignore that. That is the most foolish thing in the world to do. And that's, of course, what Lightning McQueen does. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know who he's talking to. He doesn't know who is in the room with him. But if we pay attention to the one who knows the track and the things that he has to say, we want to trust the wisest person in the room. And he can take care of keeping us on track because he knows the track. Let's read a little more. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun the evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Lightning McQueen is a perfect example of someone who is wise in his own eyes. He has common sense. If he hears advice that he disagrees with, forget that, crazy Grandpa Carr. But Dog Hudson is a revered legend. His advice is gold. And he really ought to be following it. When he mocks Doc Hudson, he is just making himself look like a fool. When we look at that word, fear the Lord, that can sometimes upset us. Like the kind of, I don't think fear is a good word there. Fear of the Lord, properly understood, the proper fear of the Lord is not something that makes you want to run away from God. Like that's just terror. It's not a way to relate to God. It's stupid. Proper fear of the Lord, as the Bible means it, is that you know that greatness is in the room and that you would be crazy to not do exactly what he says. Fear of the Lord means knowing who is in the room with you and being awestruck. You know, if Doc Hudson, when he goes into a room and people know who he is, they stop talking and they look. How much more so when God is in the room with us, which he always is. Take a minute to just think about that and be as awestruck as makes sense. I invite you to do that. Try this fear of the Lord thing, this, oh my God, it's God. It'll change you. As the proverb says, it'll bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. When you're connected to God in the way that is proper and is appropriate and fits, it fills you with life. Fills you with life. Try it. He's our guiding star, so trust him. Now, at this next part of the movie, there comes this point where Lightning finally realizes who Doc Hudson is. And he's absolutely awestruck, as would make sense. And then he goes and takes a look at what happens. Everything Lightning McQueen knows about racing, and he knows a lot, all of it is based on his own experience of driving on asphalt, and it's one kind of driving. He has no idea about the unique physics that come when you drive on dirt, and everything you do is about skidding and controlling the skid. That's what he doesn't know. His experience is limited, and that's us. We have experienced what we have experienced. We've learned what we've learned, but there's always more. That's why we need to trust God. If God's not there, we should just stress out all the time because there are so many unknowns. But God is there, and courage and trust and relaxation make sense. Because our coach knows the track. Now, it's easy to say, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It's an easy thing to say, and it's a very hard thing to do. It's the work of a lifetime to move forward in that. But I want to tell you, there's a trick to it. This is an amazing thing that I've discovered. I haven't heard a lot of other people talk about it, but I've seen it multiple times. There is a lever for moving your heart wherever you want it to go. Remember, your heart is the deepest part of you that desires things, that decides things, that wills this or that. There's a way to move it when it comes to who you can trust. Let's move ahead. I'm going to show this to you. Honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. We just sang about new wine. This is something, there's a principle throughout the Bible, and it's coming up here, and Jesus says it quite plainly in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. He says this, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, meaning invest in what God is doing. That's what that means. Put your money where God is. And if you do that, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, there's two sides to what that means. It means that if you ever are curious about what your heart actually is, what you actually trust in, just look at your bank statement. Look at where your money goes, and it'll tell you a lot of important things about yourself, because it tells you what you actually value. Money is valuable. You don't just go throwing it around at anything. You put money into the things that you think will save you and make you be okay. But there's another side. If I have a hard time trusting God, and sometimes I do, we all do, if you want to grow that trust, if you want to make your heart really believe that God is there for you and is providing for you, try putting your money there. And if you do, your heart will follow along. I have found this to be true over and over again. I'm not playing with words. This is a lever. It's like a magic trick to me. But it can move your heart. It's why this weird little line about money is right here in this section of Proverbs all about trusting God. If you take your income, like I'm just going to have you practice this. Look at your income, sit down with God, talk about it for a week, and ask God, what percentage of my income can I give to you? You know, what's a good percentage? Back in Bible days, like they were pretty strict about it, like 10%. That whenever you went out and harvested your crop, you didn't touch it. You brought it into your barn, and the first thing you did, you didn't have a big meal and celebrate. You got 1/10 of it, the best 1/10 of it. All of the best grapes, all the best figs, all the best grain. You bring it to the temple, and you give it to God. It was a way of saying, God, thank you for filling my barn to overflowing, for filling my vats with new wine because of all of these grapes that just came in. And you know what, God? We don't trust in our barn. We don't trust in how big and how full we can get it. What we trust in is you, because you are the one who takes care of us. It doesn't matter how much is in my 401k right now, my IRA. Like those things are all good, but they're not what saves me. They're not what makes me feel secure in the world and that I'm going to be okay. I know that I'm going to be okay because God has always taken care of me. I'm alive today. Here's proof. Until the day I die, He is going to take great care of me. And even on that day. So I would invite you to that practice. It was another thing I was raised up doing. Talk to God. Think. Say, what percentage is good? Just figure it out. Between you and God, nobody's going to police this. Nobody's looking at your income or your checks. That's not how it works. Decide how much money, what percentage of each paycheck you're going to give, and then give it. And if you, for some reason, don't want to give to the Journey, fine. Give to some other church. This isn't about fundraising. This is about trusting God. And if you want to become a person who does trust God, try this. Try it for a year. It's a science experiment. Try it. See how you feel at the end. My guess is that you're going to like the effect it has on you. It sets you free, makes you generous. And generous people are the people who win. Stingy people don't. They're not going to be glad about how they lived their life. So invest in God and His kingdom. Put your money where you want your heart to be, and it'll move, and it'll change you. All right, let's finish up with Proverbs 3. One last essential piece for winning this year, and it's another one about your heart. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Don't resent His rebuke, because the Lord corrects those He loves, as a father, the son He delights in. So that last piece of our game plan, it's kind of a hard one. Learn to appreciate correction, whether it's from a human coach who you've learned to trust, or from God Himself who is coaching you through life. Because there's always going to come a point when your coach sees you doing something you've always done that's always worked great for you, you think, and the coach says, you got to stop doing that. Start doing this instead. You'll thank me someday. And whenever that comes, like, I know that it's good to be corrected by God. I know that it's good to have someone who knows more than me giving me ideas about where to go, and that where I'm doing something that's sabotaging myself and I don't even know. Like, I know that. But there's always this little piece of my heart deep down inside me, this little voice where it just feels the sting of that. And there's that little part of me that says, oh, God, can you just leave me alone? Let me live my life, butt out, mind your own business. That part of me used to be much bigger. Throughout my life, it's gotten smaller. And I'll tell you how it's done that, because this is so important to do. Because outwardly, you can be moving in a new direction. You can be changing in your behavior that, you know, maybe you are becoming more loyal to the people that are around you. You're showing up. And you're showing up because deep down you know that you're trusting the wisest person in the room. That is solidly in your mind. But when you get, if your heart isn't moving that direction with you, it's going to snap you back eventually. Like, that's why trying to quit a bad habit often fails. It's because deep down, even though you're white-knuckling and controlling your behavior, and you're saying good things in your mind, if your heart still wants bad things, if your heart doesn't move with everything else, it's going to snap you right back. I've experienced that so many times. And dealing with the heart, moving the heart in this way, I haven't yet figured out a trick for it. Like that money thing, that's an awesome trick. I recommend it. I don't have a trick for this. All that I'm able to do is every day, a few times a day, when this happens, when I've got that little voice that wants God to just butt out, stop coaching me, please. I'm trying to have a nice time here. When that happens, here's my practice that I recommend to you. Just talk back to it. Don't have a conversation with it. No, you try to have a conversation with that dumb part of you, it'll just turn you all upside down and make you dumb with it. No, talk back to it. It doesn't know the truth about God, so tell it. Don't have a conversation. Give it the smackdown. When that voice arises, and I say this in my mind several times a day, the Lord corrects those He loves as a father He delights in. I'm being corrected, and it is wonderful news that I'm being corrected, because I was going a bad way. I was about to fly off the track and hurt myself, hurt other people. But God loves me so much because I'm His kid. He is my father, and He loves me. I am so glad that correction just came. That's the trick. Brute force is one of the ways that, for most things, when it matters of the heart, that's how you move it. It's the daily practice of speaking truth every time your heart lies. And when I do that, as that little part of me slowly dies, it's annoying how long it takes, But when that part of me stops speaking up, when that's not a part of me anymore, I expect it. I expect it down the road soon. That's going to be a good day. Because that's the day I'm going to be the one who won. And winning feels really, really good. So as we close this up, I want you to know, I want you to take this home with you. God is loyal to you. He is here for you, and he is there for you. And he's here to teach you to be just like that. God is wise, and you can trust him. So do, even if you don't feel trusting. If God says to do this, go do that. I know that's a lot to say, but do it. That's how you win. God's kingdom is worth investing in him. Do it. Try it. Even if you don't feel like trying it, trust never just happens. Trust happens from experience. So go have an experience. I've heard it said, if you want to walk on water, you got to step out of the boat. That's what this is. Take a risk of not holding your money so tightly, putting it where God is. See what happens. Science experiment. And when God corrects you, it's because he loves you. Take that home with you. Take that for the whole year. And you and I, together, December 31st, we're going to be glad about how much we won. Now, I'd like to invite the worship team up to join us in a time of worship and the Eucharist. I've been talking about wisdom as this guiding star that moves us in the right direction. It's always there, and we could just follow it, and where it leads us will be a good place, a place of victory and strength and goodness, a good and beautiful life. And that guiding star, ultimately, is Jesus Christ, God with us. He is the wise one. He is the one who guides us. And day after tomorrow is Epiphany. Today is the 11th day of Christmas. Tomorrow is the 12th day of Christmas. It's going to be a good day. Your true love's going to give you Lords a-leaping or something like that. But Epiphany is on January 6th every year. And the message of Epiphany is this, that A, we know that God worked with Abraham and his family for a very long time, filled them with good things, wisdom, for example, instruction, good ways to live and make choices. Epiphany is the realization, the amazing, impossible realization that the Savior of this little people, the Messiah that they've been waiting for, is not just theirs. That the Savior of the Jews is the God and King of everyone, and is inviting all of us in. And the central story of it is the three wise men who followed a star. They saw a star, and they're like, we know how important this star is. And they followed it. And they found a baby in a manger. And I think they were as awestruck as makes sense. They had some reverence for this baby. They knew that somehow this was the secret of the universe. They bowed down and they worshiped. And when you worship the one thing that's worth worshiping, that's how you win. And as we move into the Eucharist, that's what we're doing. Worshiping God means receiving the gifts that he gives because we know they are so important. And the gift is embodied in this bread and in this wine. The gift, ultimately, is the very life of God. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The life of God is here for you. Take it in. Take the bread, dip it in the wine. Put it into your body, and think about how amazing that is. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our guiding star. You didn't have to be, but you are. You unthinkably have given yourself to us and filled us. Fill us again today as we come forward to the table and receive your awesome, awesome gifts. In the name of Christ, our wisdom, our guiding star, amen. The tables are open.